ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानातिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामेयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं। श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरतुषे नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी व्रजवानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरु भयश्च कृपा सिंधु भैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि और भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। Hare Krishna. So today on the auspicious occasion of Ekadashi, we'll be reading from Srila Prabhupada Lila Amrit, Volume 6, Chapter 1. So we know that every morning we have Srimad Bhagavatam class, and there are two kinds of Bhagavat. One is the book Bhagavat, the Granth Avatar which we have. So one is book Bhagavat, the Granth Avatar which we have, and the other is the living Bhagavat or Acharya, who is also a Bhagavat. So every morning we read from the book Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, about the various pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. And today we are reading about the pastimes of one of the most glorious devotee of the Lord and Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, from this Lila Amrit. Prabhupada is an Acharya that it is said in Prabhupada's glorification, na bhuto na bhavishyati. An Acharya which has never happened before in the history, na bhuto na bhavishyati. An Acharya which will never happen in the future also. So Prabhupada is such an Acharya, and it's our great fortune to be in this institution led by Srila Prabhupada and participate in the various activities which Prabhupada has instructed us to do. So if we see the life and contribution of Srila Prabhupada, it's unparalleled. None of the Acharyas have, of course we cannot compare them. And it's like everyone has done their best contribution. But this particular glorification statement for Prabhupada, na bhuto na bhavishyati, was given by actually one of the Acharya of the Ramanandi Sampradaya, when some Prabhupada disciples went to meet him, so that Acharya of Ramananda Sampradaya was very impressed, and he immediately composed few Sanskrit verses glorifying Srila Prabhupada, and there he mentioned, Na bhuto na bhavishyati, that even my Sampradaya Acharya, I can say that the Srila Prabhupada, the Acharya like Srila Prabhupada is which unparalleled in the history of the world, and such things are not going to happen again in future. And similarly, the Leela of Srila Prabhupada is also unparalleled and unimaginable. It is so fascinating. When we read this, we can only just enjoy, relish the Leela. It's impossible to do it now or duplicate it again, what happened in those years and the leadership of Srila Prabhupada. And all these pastimes, most of the important ones are recorded in this book, Srila Prabhupada Leela Amrit. There are many devotees who became devotee after reading Srila Prabhupada Leela Amrit. They were coming to ISKCON, they were associated with ISKCON, but they are not really practicing Krishna consciousness. But when they read Srila Prabhupada Leela Amrit, they became very missionary spirit and they became very dedicated to the movement of Srila Prabhupada. I was talking to one student day before yesterday who is going through Leela Amrit, and he is saying that I am coming to temple chanting 16 rounds, it's more than a year, but I never felt so fortunate to practice Krishna consciousness till the time I didn't read Leela Amrit. Now he's in volume 5 of Leela Amrit, and he says after reading Leela Amrit I feel now that how fortunate I am that I am associated with this movement of led by Srila Prabhupada. And he was saying that now I am feeling that why I am wasting my time in this world in all these activities. Prabhupada has given such a wonderful opportunity for all of us. So this student was saying that I just feel that I should wind up everything, join temple, become a missionary and try to follow on the footsteps of the Acharyas and try to do some service for Srila Prabhupada. So that's the potency of the Leela Amrit. If we have not read, it is a must-read book for all of us. And we can also encourage or distribute this book sometimes to people, the Leela Amrit. Even Sitaram Prabhu, he also decided to join temple full-time after reading Srila Prabhupada Leela Amrit. So like that, many devotees are there whose life got very transformed after reading Srila Prabhupada's Leela Amrit. So it's a very powerful book. It's a very powerful book which glorifies the Leela of Srila Prabhupada. So today, as now we have this book distribution marathon going on, so we'll be reading from the volume 6 of chapter 1 entitled, Please Distribute Books. San Francisco, July 5, 1970. Srila Prabhupada was attending the 1970 Rath Yatra in San Francisco. The day was cold and windy, and about 10,000 people had joined in Lord Jagannath's procession through Golden Gate Park. Just imagine 10,000 people in San Francisco joining the Rath Yatra. Srila Prabhupada had danced in the street with thousands of participants during the parade, addressed a large crowd in an auditorium by the beach, and looked on as his disciples had distributed a free vegetarian prasadam feast to thousands. But when a devotee arrived with a half dozen advance copies of volume 1 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada appeared especially pleased. Surrounded by devotees and curious festival goers, Srila Prabhupada held one of the books, admiring the front cover with its full color picture of Radha and Krishna. The volume was big, almost 7.5 by 10.5 inches, and its dust jacket shone silver with large bright red letters, Krishna. It was a transcendental wonder in Srila Prabhupada's reverent hands. Onlookers could barely restrain themselves from pressing in against Srila Prabhupada to peer over his shoulders. And they didn't restrain their exclamations when Prabhupada smiled and opened the volume. He examined the illustrations, the print, the paper and the binding. Very nice, he said. He fixed his attention on a page reading. Then he looked up and announced that this greatly valuable book, Krishna, had just arrived and that everyone should read it. Holding one book in his hand, with other copies stacked before him, he said that anyone who so desired should come forward and buy a copy. People began clamoring, and hands with $10 bills thrust forward, while voices cried out, begging for a copy. And Prabhupada promptly sold every book, not even keeping one for himself. Just imagine you go with a carton of book, and there's a people who are like jumping over to get the book. So that's an acharya, and his presence, when he is distributing book, is like everyone is just jumping over, and within few minutes the whole stock is over. For the devotees, Srila Prabhupada's selling of the Krishna book was the most spectacular event of the Rath Yatra festival. They pored over the purchased books in groups, discussing Krishna's pastimes and the effect they would have on the people of America. Brahmanand told how in 1967, Prabhupada had given away his advanced copy of teachings of Lord Chaitanya in his room at 26 Second Avenue in New York City. Just before that book had arrived, Srila Prabhupada had been sitting and talking with Satyavrata, a disciple who had previously stopped coming to the temple due to petty quarreling with his god brothers. When the copy of teachings of Lord Chaitanya had arrived, Srila Prabhupada had lovingly inspected it and had then offered it to Satyavrata as a gift. Brahmananda had been astounded to see Srila Prabhupada give away his only copy of the book. Having helped publish the book, Brahmananda knew how painstakingly Prabhupada had written it and how he had anxiously waited 1 year for the book to finally see print. Yet, once it had arrived, he had immediately given it away, and to a disciple who was not even in good standing. Satyavrata had taken the book, thanked Srila Prabhupada, and left, never to be seen again. Although Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to be as eager to distribute Krishna conscious literature as he was, none of them knew how to do it. Distributing a magazine and asking for a small donation was one thing, but a big, hardbound book, when the entire shipment of teachings of Lord Chaitanya had arrived in New York in April of 1967, the devotees had hired a truck, picked up the book at the dock, and unloaded them at 26 Second Avenue. They had then shipped them to ISKCON centers in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Boston, Montreal, and elsewhere. And there they remained. We see in Prabhupada's life that before Prabhupada went to United States, he was very actively involved in the preaching of the Gaudiya Math. And later after problems in the Gaudiya Math, Srila Prabhupada himself started printing books. In 1944 he started with Back to Godhead magazine. And then it stopped, and again Srila Prabhupada started. And when Prabhupada would distribute these magazines and leaflets, somebody suggested Prabhupada, Swamiji, you know, people will read these leaflets and magazines and they will throw. Why don't you print proper hardbound books? And Prabhupada said, yes, this is my spiritual master who is speaking through your mouth. And then Prabhupada reflected on the instruction given by his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that whenever you get money, print books and distribute. So then Prabhupada got this, remembered this instruction and reflected on this person who said, Swamiji, why you just print magazines and leaflets which people will read and throw away? Then Prabhupada started to plan and to print more and more big books or hardbound books. In fact, we all of us mostly, like when we have this Leela Amrit where we read about, the first volume is dedicated to preparation in lifetime. And the other five volumes, we read about what all happened while Srila Prabhupada preached toward the Western countries. But we have very less information about the struggle which Srila Prabhupada went through before 1965. Because as a Vaishnava, Prabhupada never came out to tell everything in detail, because a Vaishnava never wants to glorify himself or his own struggle. So we have some information which is just covered in volume 1. But we can understand in those days, in 1944, 1945, whatever information we get from the Leela Amrit, this was like so difficult to get paper to get it printed, to get it binding done, and everything Prabhupada was doing single-handedly. From pursuing the, getting the paper, going to the printer, getting it printed, binding, and the next thing after binding is selling or distributing the books. And again, whatever money comes, again with that, purchase the paper, again. So, doing everything single-handedly, alone. And so many other times Srila Prabhupada started to preach. In fact, whatever reason one can give to not practice Krishna consciousness, if we see the life of Srila Prabhupada, we would find that he had every reason to give, to delay or to find, complain while practicing Krishna consciousness. Someone may say, you know, that my business, my job is not going good, so I have no time. And Prabhupada's business was like finished. And he took it in a positive way. Someone may say, my family members are not supportive like Prabhupada's. And you see Prabhupada's life, his wife, his children, no, neither they are supportive to business nor they are supportive to the spiritual practices. Someone may say that, no, I have no support, I have no association, no one is helping me, I have no funds. And this was all very much evident in life of Prabhupada. So we see any reason, someone may say, no, I am too old to do. And who can be older than Prabhupada? So one can give any number of reasons to not practice Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada has exemplified that reason in his life, that in spite of that, how you can still practice Krishna consciousness. And how you can still go on serving Krishna. And we see all these years from the first meeting, from 1922, when the seed was planted in the Prabhupada to spread the teachings of Krishna consciousness. And later on in the upcoming years, when he again meets his spiritual master, and again it is solidified by initiation, and then the personal instruction in later in 1936, that preach in the English language whenever you distribute books. Whenever you get money, print books and distribute books. And Srila Prabhupada was always contemplating over these instructions, always trying to preach and spread the teachings, always facing so many reversals. You know. Like, just if we reflect our life and when we are trying to serve Krishna, and we try a few months or we say we are in a preaching project, we try for a year, 2 years, if things not come out well, we get discouraged. Or say we go out for distributing books and books are not moving. People are not taking, we get discouraged. And Prabhupada had all these things for not 1 year, not 2 years, but almost like for decades. Decades. Like say when Prabhupada got initiated 1933 till 1965, that's come out to be 32 years. That's 32 years when the contemplation was going on, various attempts were going on. With 1944 Back to Godhead magazine, and then Prabhupada moving to Vanaprastha Ashram and trying to give Diksha, but then stopped in the Gaudiya Math. So, always again and again there were reversals. But the fire within was so high that Prabhupada went on moving. Even till 1965, he's looking at the age of 70, he's planning, I have to still go to US. I mean, if we start any program, and we face little reversals, just imagine, then we wind up, we say it's not possible. And like Prabhupada was in the ship in 1965 when he's going to US, he got 2 heart attacks, he went to the US and he saw, first year was not so positive response. Prabhupada had all reason to think, maybe Lord wants me to go back to India, because you know I'm getting heart attack and then people are not supportive here, I'm not able to get any followers. So maybe Lord wants that I should go back. This is how we conclude when we do our programs, preaching programs. Maybe Lord has some other desire, so I should go back. You know? But Prabhupada thought, okay, let me continue. You know? When if I die here, it's glorious in service of the Lord. Let me continue here. So we see the kind of enthusiasm and the kind of preaching fire, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, those who have life, they will preach. Some devotees had tried placing ads in magazines and leaving books in bookstores on consignment. But the books did not sell. How to sell these big, hardbound books remained a mystery until something significant happened, an accidental discovery. On the day in 1971, while driving back to the temple after chanting in downtown San Francisco, two brahmacharis stopped at a local service station for gas. When the attendant came to the window for money, one of the devotees showed him a Krishna book. The attendant seemed interested, and the two devotees began preaching the glories of Krishna consciousness. When they suggested he take the book as a payment for the gas, he agreed. Astonished at what had happened and inspired at their success, the two brahmacharis went the next day with the several Krishna books and stood in the front of a grocery store. And again it happened. This time they sell two books. Keshava, the San Francisco temple president, phoned his GVC supervisor and brother, Karanadhara, in Los Angeles to tell him what had happened. "It's like a miracle," Keshav exclaimed. Karanadhara encouraged him to experiment further, and as soon the San Francisco temple had half a dozen men going from door to door showing the books to people in their homes. When the Buddhimanta began selling as many as 5 books in a day, the devotees in other temples, especially Los Angeles, San Diego, and Denver, wanted to follow his example. And whoever tried it and sold a book became caught up in a euphoric excitement. It's like you try, you go ahead, you try, and you do it, and you set an example for others to do it. The experience and testimonies of devotees selling Srila Prabhupada's books describe a special taste, distinct from the happiness young men might ordinarily experience by stumbling upon a sales technique and finding themselves on the verge of making a lot of money. The difference is that the devotees' book distribution, being devotional service to Krishna, produces an ecstasy that is transcendental, an ecstasy far beyond even the greatest material happiness. So this is something which one has to individually experience by going out, trying themselves with a book to give someone, and the pleasure which is there by, you know, you give a book to a person, he takes it, he pays for it, and we feel that as if we have won over the whole world. So one book goes out. When I would go earlier, after 3-4 hours, I would be able to sell just one book, and that was the greatest happiness for me. One book went. Now by Krishna's mercy and devotees association, more books go. But I would say, my target is just one book. If that goes, that is my success. So, and that's the greatest, actually much more one could get in a material world, any kind of happiness. Giving out books to someone and he takes it, and that pleases the Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, then naturally Krishna is in our heart as Paramatma. That pleases us a lot. Ordinary businesses and the business of selling Krishna conscious literature are as different as material life from spiritual life. And anyone observing spiritual life from the material point of view will not understand it. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had compared such empirical attempts to understand the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness with attempts to test honey by licking the outside of the bottle. The young man and woman beginning to distribute books in America knew that Srila Prabhupada, by giving them Krishna consciousness, had saved them from hellish life. And they wanted to help him give Krishna consciousness to others. And such preaching by distributing his books was ecstasy, spiritual ecstasy. In fact, in one of the lectures when this Radha Damodar party was going on, in 1975, Srila Prabhupada was just giving a lecture before the team was going to depart in 4 buses. And Prabhupada told that whatever benefit Vishwamitra Muni got by doing 60,000 years of tapasya, you will get much more than that by just doing few days of Sankirtan. So you distribute books for some days, that blessings, that benefit, this is more powerful than the 60,000 years of tapasya of Vishwamitra Muni. And then Prabhupada installed 4 set of Gaurnitai duties in these 4 buses, and with full inspiration, the devotee boarded the buses and they went out for the Sankirtan. So that was the spiritual ecstasy. By mid-1971, temples were selling hundreds of Krishna books a week. Karandhar, Prabhupada's books funds manager, began sending Sankirtan newsletters to the North American temples and to Srila Prabhupada. By listing the monthly results of each temple's book distribution, the newsletter incited competition. Karandhara's December 1971 newsletter summed up the mood of the year and urged the devotees to increase. Recently, in an all-out program to sell books, The San Francisco temple has been averaging 20 Krishna books per day distribution. What is their technique? Keshava Prabhu says, simply we make it our priority activity. All you have to do is want to do it and then try as hard as you can. Everywhere we go, we carry BPGs and Krishna books. He says, on a strict Sankirtan program, door to door, to the laundromat, to the store, everywhere. We have been taxing our brains in so many fancy and complicated ways to try to increase sales. But as it has been experienced, nothing is more successful than simply taking the books personally in hand and going door to door with this causeless mercy. Just consider, how many hours a day do we spend specifically trying to distribute Srila Prabhupada's literature, which is the dearmost thing to him. The crowning touch to the end, the year Sankirtan, however, came not from the newsletter, but from Prabhupada himself, who wrote to Keshava, the king of Krishna book distribution. That was the title given by Prabhupada, the king. And to another devotee, Prabhupada gives the title, the emperor of book distribution. The emperor. So Prabhupada wrote, I have been receiving so many reports about how my disciples from the San Francisco temple cannot be surpassed by anyone in distributing my books. Sometimes they are selling as many as 70 Krishna books daily. So if this is true, then certainly when I return to the US, I must come and stay in your temple. By distributing my books profusely, you are giving me great encouragement to translate. And you all are helping me to fulfill the order which Guru Maharaj gave me. So I am so much grateful to you, and I am sure Krishna will bless you a million times over for doing this work. I hope that you and all my beloved disciples in San Francisco temple are in strong health and jolly mood. In one letter, Prabhupada writes, the way my disciples are preaching and spreading this Krishna consciousness, if they go on for 25 years, there will be no other religion remaining in this world. The only religion of the world will be the Vaishnava religion, if the spirit remains for just 25 years. And in the similar way, Prabhupada writes there, if you are distributing my books, the mercy is how many times? We read right now. How many times? Krishna will bless how many times? Million times more. If we go out and distribute Krishna book, we are getting the Krishna's mercy million times more. That's a letter of Prabhupada, so we can take it as it is. Copies of this letter went out to every ISKCON center. Prabhupada had always given his blessings to all the devotees, but never before could anyone recall his saying a devotee would get Krishna's blessing a million times over. So that's enough reason for us to go out and distribute books, because the mercy is a million times. Although a letter from Prabhupada usually instructed a specific devotee, the instruction often had universal application. And Srila Prabhupada's letter made clear his disciples, top priority, book distribution. I am very pleased to hear that you are increasing in your distribution of our books and magazines. This is a good sign that your preaching work is also strong. The more you increase your strength in preaching, the more you will go on selling books. I want especially that my books be distributed widely. So you see, Prabhupada was very much emphasizing on book distribution. At the same time, Prabhupada also wanted us to maintain a very good sadhana. In one of the letters to Rameshwara Prabhu, Prabhupada wrote the full letter stressing that we should distribute books, and Prabhupada glorified book distribution. But Prabhupada concludes the letter. The last part of the line of the letter is, but to save ourselves is also very important. To save ourselves is also very important. And that Rameshwara Prabhu then comments that, I read the whole letter where Prabhupada glorifies do book distribution, preach, but he concludes, but to save ourselves is also very important. So, in the same comment, Rameshwara Prabhu mentions that one Mataji one time asked Srila Prabhupada that when we go out for book distribution, we are meeting so many non-devotees. So that's going to contaminate us, and how are we going to save from that contamination of association of non-devotees? And Srila Prabhupada responded that if you complete your rounds, chant 16 rounds, and follow four regulative principles, and always remain in association of devotees, and in this way, if you go out for preaching, then that will protect us from the contamination which comes by the association of non-devotees. So, this is like a vaccination. A doctor who is treating all the patients, you know, a doctor first takes vaccination on himself, so that while treating the patient from some contagious disease, he doesn't get affected. In the similar way, when we are going out for preaching, and if we get contaminated by the material sickness of the materialistic people, then it's all a failure. So first thing is to take the vaccination ourselves, and that's why we should have a strong morning sadhana, where we are very enthusiastic to complete our 16 rounds. We read a chapter, like Vaisheshika Prabhu stresses a lot on Chad, chapter a day, he calls Chad, chapter a day. So we recite verses from, say, Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, at least one chapter. Complete our 16 rounds, and then we go ahead. So we'll find ourselves more empowered to face the material environment which is going to come, and that will protect us. Otherwise, if we are struggling, say we distribute whole day books, but then in the night we are chanting our rounds, then that's not going to help us. The first priority is that we complete our morning sadhana in the morning itself, and we do a little reading, attend our morning program, and then with that full vigor and enthusiasm, we go out for distributing books, encouraging people to take a book and make a donation for it. And when they take a book, they make a donation, they get the blessings to understand the philosophy. Like I was hearing, Vaisheshika Prabhu was mentioning that when we give a book to a person, he takes a book, but when he makes a donation for that book, he gets the blessings of the previous acharyas to be able to understand the philosophy which is mentioned in the book. And then he gives the example of a sannyasi who would go door to door, and the sannyasi would beg alms. So one time the sannyasi went to a house, and inside the house the husband and wife, they are fighting. So when the sannyasi begged on the door, the fighting couple, they were very much frustrated, and the husband said, "This sannyasi has come, give him some ashes." So the wife went to the kitchen where they were having some burnt cow dung and some ashes. She picked up some ashes and gave to this sannyasi as an alm. And then sannyasi accepted this ashes as an alm. He came to his ashram and he gave to his servant. And he told that today in the alm, I have got this ashes. So please use it in washing the pots. Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ji ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. So then the servant washed all the pots with this ashes, and after some days the sannyasi again was going around, and again he reached to the same house asking for alms. And when begged for the alms, this couple opened the door, and when they saw the sannyasi, they immediately fell on his feet. They welcomed him inside the house, they served him very nicely, and the sannyasi also instructed them with the spiritual instruction. And in this way, they got the benefit. So anytime when we are out, we have to encourage people to offer some service to Krishna. So when they take a book, they make some donation, whatever small it may be, whatever more, or some kind of service they do to Krishna, and this service will purify them or bring them closer to Krishna. And you never know, after some years or some time, we'll find them practicing Krishna consciousness. And this is my personal experience of meeting few people like this, giving them a book, or they came, make some donation, and slowly, slowly they started growing in Krishna consciousness, and they became wonderful devotees. So this is a very great opportunity of Srila Prabhupada's book distribution marathon, where we can get a million times mercy by going out and distributing these books. Of course, as we know, this marathon is for a month, and we can try our best in this particular month to distribute more and more books. This particular chapter, Please Distribute Books, is very, very encouraging and interesting. I'll request all of you to take out some time and go through this first chapter. It's very encouraging, the Prabhupada letters and the devotee's experience of going out and distributing books. And I'm sure when you'll read this full, you will not like to stay back here and would like to go out and do something, some one book or some kind of book distribution. So please try and make a point that we go through this particular chapter, Please Distribute Books. Today also happens to be the disappearance day of Srila Narhari Sarkar Thakur. And we'll just mention something about Srila Narhari Sarkar Thakur. Srila Narhari Sarkar Thakur was born at Sri Khanda. Srila Narhari Sarkar Thakur participated in all Sri Gaur Sundar pastimes. Lochandas Thakur, who is the author of Sri Chaitanya Mangal, he is a disciple of Narhari Sarkar Thakur. In the Chaitanya Mangal, it is stated that Sri Gadadhar Das and Narhari Sarkar were extremely dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. he has his pastime with Nityananda Prabhu. One day Nityananda Prabhu arrived at Srikhanda and said to Narhari, "All right, we know who you are. So where is the honey, Madhu?" In Krishna Leela, Narhari is the Sakhi Madhumati, whose service is to supply honey for Sri Sri Radha Govinda and their associates. So he immediately went to a nearby pond and filled a pot which immediately turned into honey of the most nectarian kind. Nityananda Prabhu and his associates drank from this pot to their full and unlimited satisfaction. We see in the Gaur Aarti, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Gaur Aarti Kirtan, sings of some of that in his intimate service that Sri Narhari Sarkar Thakur performs for Lord Chaitanya. Remember that line from Gaur Aarti? Kiva Narahari Adhikari Chamara Dhulaya. Narahari is fanning Gaur Sundar with a yak tail or Chamara fan. Sri Narahari Sarkar Thakur was a great expert singer as well as a poet. He has composed many songs about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He composed a Sanskrit work entitled Sri Bhajanamrita. Narhari was the only devotee who had the adhikar or right to do Gaur Kirtan in Gaur Sundar presence, to chant the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his presence, to do Gaur Kirtan. Ordinarily, if anyone would praise Mahaprabhu in his presence or chant his holy name, he would block his ears and call out, "Vishnu, Vishnu." Narhari, however, enjoyed the special privilege of being able to sing about Mahaprabhu in a very unique mood and with sweet descriptions of his transcendental beauty without objection from Mahaprabhu. And today is his disappearance day, this Ekadasi, he disappeared. Srila Narhari Sarkar Thakur Tirobhava Divas ki, Srila Prabhupada Leela Amrit ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada Book Distribution Marathon Program ki. Hare Krishna.